Thank you for visiting Harmony Primitive Baptist Church. This is Elder Neil Phelan, Jr., preaching for regular Sunday morning services.
Well, I thought about a Mother's Day message, and I really want to continue with our study in 1 Timothy this morning, because we've already veered from that a couple of times. So let's turn over to the book of 1 Timothy. I'm sure this would be a wonderful message for mothers as well, because it has to do with the truth, and mothers like for their children to tell them the truth. And of course, the Lord likes us as His children to rejoice in truth. And we've come to 1 Timothy down into the last part of the third chapter. I'm going to read this to you for just a moment and then give you just an overview of this book. We looked at the qualifications of the pastor and then of the deacons. And we come down to the 14th verse of the third chapter of 1 Timothy. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So we've seen the problems that they have at this church. Timothy is at Ephesus. Paul has written him this letter to try to encourage him on the things that they need at this church. And they've had problems with their doctrine. They've had false teachers come in among them. They have had some men that were ordained into the office of pastors and deacons that should never have been ordained into the office. And apparently are having a lot of problems at this church. And so, as I said last Sunday, we looked at the office of deacon. The Sunday before that, the office of pastor. And then Paul makes this statement concerning the church itself, that the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. I thought about why Paul would have written about the pastors and the deacons before he makes this statement. Because it's so important that the men that occupy the leadership position in a church have these qualifications, because they must be men of integrity that will handle God's word, the word of truth, without compromise. You see, the church doesn't just come here to believe anything. We don't come here to worship God any way we want to or believe anything we want to. But we come here to worship God in spirit and in truth. And so we're vitally interested in the truth of God's word. And so apparently there were some men that were corrupting the church because they were willing to compromise the truth. Now, we know the truth can be compromised. And we know some of the reasons why the truth can be compromised. Men compromise the truth for money, for power, for positions. And if you consider all of those, even in the political arena, that happens even in churches, that men are willing to compromise the truth for money, for power, and for places to preach, for the popularity of people. And so Paul wants Timothy to see that the right men are ordained and that these men are going to be valiant for the truth of God's word. I touched on this a few Sundays ago, but when we consider the church as being the ground and the pillar of the truth, that means that the church is the place on earth, of all places on earth, that should support the truth, that should rejoice in the truth. It should be the church of Jesus Christ. If it's the ground and pillar, that means it is the supporting structure of the body of truth that is contained in society, in this world. That's why the church is spoken of as being the light of the world, because light always is an example or a figure of the truth of God's word and of Christ and of God. And as the church itself, it's not only the leadership of the church, but it's the whole church that should be involved in protecting and harboring the truth. I mentioned this a few Sundays ago, that we want to teach the truth as pastors and stand for the truth. But every member of the church has a responsibility in this. To hold the truth forth before others, to live the truth, to be faithful to God's house, that this truth will continue here at Donaldson, at this church, or wherever we go to church. it's not just the men that contain the church. It's not the responsibility of the church being the ground and pillar of the church is not just on my shoulders or the shoulders of the leadership of this church. But every member of the church should have a desire in their heart to see the church perpetuate in their particular community. That the truths that you love and you believe in will be there when others come along. I remember first coming to this church, how I rejoiced in the truth of grace. And I thought to myself, how many times as a kid I've ridden my bicycle past this church, played on the gravel piles that the street department would pile out here in the parking lot, and never even realized the embodiment of truth that was contained here. But when I became a member here, I began to rejoice and be thankful for all of those people that had been members of this church years ago. Faithful people that had come here and had been faithful enough that this church would survive and be here when I came along as a person to rejoice in the truths that this church stands for. The church is the Fort Knox, you might say, of truth in this world. And there's a lot of answers that people can find in God's house. I remember the radio commercial that Radio Shack used, the television commercial that Radio Shack used to have. They said, "You got questions, we got answers." Well, when it comes to the things of God, the things of our personal lives, if people have questions about it, we've got answers for them here in God's house. And I think sometimes, sad to say, that even sometimes those that are coming here don't realize the great truths that we have that can help us in our own personal lives. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul wrote this to the church at Corinth. "Wherefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." So Paul tells Corinth that we didn't come to your church to tickle your ears. We didn't come to your church to preach things that you wanted to hear. But we came there to present the truth of God's word to you, not handling the word of God with craftiness. But we handled God's word as servants with integrity that wanted to share God's word with his people. And if you're a child of God, there is nothing more important to you than to know the truth of God's word. So I'll ask you the question this morning. How important is truth to you this morning anyway? Concerning the word of God. Are you really as interested in it as you are anything else? You know, I find it that we can be very jealous for truth when it comes to other areas of our lives. If you're buying a used car and you ask a used car salesman, how good a car is this anyway? And he says, that car was just driven by a little old lady to church on Sunday. And you buy the car and you find out it wasn't just driven by a little old lady to church on Sunday. The car was also driven by a young man down the pipeline on Sunday night. And you find out the car is not exactly what they said, you're going to be very upset about it. You want the truth when you're buying a car. What about when you're buying a house? If you're buying a house, you want to know everything about that house. You want somebody to tell you the truth, don't you? You don't want to buy a house and find out that the roof leaks or maybe the basement leaks or you've got some structural problems, you've got termite damage. You want the truth. And I'm sure if you're a parent, you want the truth when you ask your children, "Where have you been today anyway? Where were you last night and who were you with?" You want the truth. But sometimes we want the truth in everything else. But when it comes to church and it comes to the doctrines of the church, we say, it's not that really important. Just so they talk a little bit about Jesus, they get their Bibles and they sing a few songs. That's really about all that matters. And we're willing to compromise the truth when it comes to the things of God, but nothing else. My friends, this morning, I believe when we're looking at Paul's writing concerning the church, that if there is anywhere that we want the truth above all things, it should be the things of God. And we should be praying that the Lord would bless us to know the truth of His Word and to act upon it as Christians. Satan is the father of lies, according to the Bible. And he loves to get some untruths before us, cause us to believe something that isn't true. And so we see as a church and as the Lord that the truth is important to us. The truth is important in our worship service. When you think about when we come to worship God, that the Lord is well pleased when we're worshiping in spirit and in truth. In John chapter 4, verse 22 through 24, that's what John wrote. Ye worship, ye know not what. He was speaking to the woman at the well. And she began to talk about our fathers of Samaria, that they worship in this place. But Jesus said, you don't know what you're worshiping. For salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. The Father is seeking people who want to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Because if it's not in the truth, it can't be in the Spirit of God. And if it's truly in the Spirit of God, it must be in truth. So the Lord is seeking those to worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's the importance of truth when we're worshiping the Lord. And you'll rejoice in truth if you love the Lord. I think that when it comes to connecting with the Lord, that unless we are really true about ourselves and about God's Word, that we cannot connect with the Lord. I know that we cannot be 100% true all the time. I know that we can't have our doctrine 100% right all the time. I know that I can't preach everything perfectly. And I know that as humans that we err many times when it comes to studying God's Word and trying to figure out the great things of God. Sometimes we are, but we should not compromise it. If we're given the truth, we should want to believe it. In the Old Testament, the Lord's people had become saturated with untruth. False apostles or false prophets had come in among them. They'd begun to worship Baal and the false gods of that day. And in Jeremiah chapter 9, God said this to His own people. Oh, that my head were waters, and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain, the daughter of my people. Now, if you take that into the New Testament context, that means those that have been slain by error, those that have been presented something that is not true about God or His Word, and they have been destroyed and defiled by it. Oh, that I had the wilderness, a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them. For they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men, and they bend their tongues like the bow for lies. But they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. Take ye heed, every one of his neighbor, and trust ye not in any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will speak with slanders. How sad when we read God speaking to His own people. How greatly disturbed concerning the fact that they were willing to compromise the truth of God's Word. When we're thinking about the truth and rejoicing in the truth, there's like the truths of God's grace that we find in Scripture that we rejoice in. I think a sinner can greatly rejoice in salvation by grace when they hear that Jesus Christ died for sinners. I love what Paul said. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The church should be a storehouse of wisdom concerning the doctrines of grace, concerning the doctrine of election, that God chose His people in Christ before the foundation of the world. That should be something that every church should rejoice in. Or the fact that He predestinated them to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. This is part of the truth that the church should rejoice in. There's a storehouse of truth that we find that we should rejoice in as God's people. But there's another part of truth that I believe is important to us today. And it's the truth concerning ourselves and our own personal sin. You know, sometimes we don't want to be honest about that. We make excuses for things we do, things we say, places we go, maybe. And when it comes to the church being the ground and pillar of the truth, I believe this, that the church is a place where great sinners find the truth about themselves, about what Christ has done for them, and they repent and they honor the Lord in their lives. You know, the church isn't just a place we come to hear doctrine. I know that there are some that think, well, man, if I come to church, I just want to hear doctrine. You know, doctrine is probably about 20 to 30% of the Bible. The rest of it has to do with your personal life and your walk with Jesus Christ. You know, there's more to church than coming and hearing a message. The church should be a place where sinners are rescued from the tempter, from Satan. One of the first things they say at the AA meetings is that the program is to admit to your particular problem. I have a problem with alcohol, or I have a problem with a drug, or I have a problem with this, or I have a problem with that. I know in some of the Celebrate Life meetings that they admit other types of addictions that people have, maybe to pornography or something like that. Did you know the first step to you walking with Jesus Christ is to be honest and true about your own personal life? To say, I am a sinner, and this is my sin. Now, we're good at just praying a general prayer. Lord, I'm a sinner, forgive me. Sometimes that's the way we end our prayers. Forgive us our sins. But so far as any particular sin is concerned, you know, we never really mention one because we really don't feel like we really have any particular sins. But you see, the church is a place when you're confronted with the truth. Whether it's about homosexuality, whether it's about adultery, whether it's about fornication. And we've got a lot of young people running around today thinking that that's all right. It's all right for them to go out and live any way they want to. They're not. But you see, that's not the truth. Satan's telling them that's the truth. That's okay to do whatever you want to do. Everybody else is doing it. But he's leading you down a path of lies, and it's going to cause you a great problem in your life. See, the church is a place you come and say, oh, well, this is what the Bible says about it. I didn't realize that. This is a sin. And once we're confronted with it by God's Word, by the truth of God's Word, then we come to the place that we can deal with it in our lives. Now, I wish it was that easy, that all you had to do was just tell somebody or preach the truth and say, this is a sin, and people say, oh, I didn't know that. I'll go home and change that. We know that presenting the truth to God's people is not always that easy. Sometimes we'll tell people about some of the doctrines of grace, and they'll look at you and say, you know, that's not in my Bible. I don't have election in my Bible. Predestination's not there. You know, but sometimes we find ourselves, whether it is a sin that I've mentioned already or something else in our lives, that we are just as prone to deny that is something we need to deal with in our own personal lives as anybody else. But the truth is what we want. We can hear the truth from the pulpit, from the reading of God's Word. We can have the truth presented to us by a loving mother, a loving father, a loving family, by some of our friends. The truth can be brought before us. But dealing with the truth is something that every one of us have a problem with. Now don't tell me you don't have a problem with it, because I know you do. If you're married, I'll ask your wife, and I'll ask your husband, or I'll ask your parents, and I'll ask your God. Every one of us have a problem dealing with the truth of God's Word. Paul wrote a letter to the Galatians, and he really let them have it because they had walked away from the doctrines of God's grace. And he said, if I or an angel preach anything unto you, let him be accursed. And he continues to write and try to show them that they had gone into Judaism. We're walking away from the doctrines of God's grace. And he said, do I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? You know, a lot of times you tell somebody the truth and you become their enemy. And you've really just tried to tell them what the truth is. And a lot of times we can make enemies out of people by telling them the truth. Now, I believe we ought to tell people the truth in love. There is a way to tell the truth and there is a way not to tell the truth. And there's a way to proclaim truth from the pulpit, and there's a way not to proclaim truth from the pulpit. It must be done in love. But my friends, if anybody tells you the truth and wants to see you do better in your life, you should rejoice in that. And God's house is a place where we're told the truth every Sunday morning. We get a lot of truth when we come to God's house that we can use in our own personal lives. One place in the book of Proverbs says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. And when you're wounded by a friend, it is a faithful wound if they've told you the truth. because they've been faithful enough to tell you the truth, knowing that you may consider them an enemy even in doing so. So the church is involved in delivering people from Satan and the bondage of sin, and that should be something that we are paramount, should be paramount in our lives. That we ought to want to see sinners come to God's house. Sometimes we get so sterile in our churches, we think, well, you know, I don't want a real sinner to come here. I mean, it's all right if they're over there in those other places, but we don't want any real sinners to show up in this church. Because really, you know, those people shouldn't be in church. You know, those are the people that ought to be in church. If there's anybody that ought to be in church, it's people who need to know the Savior Jesus Christ. If you know somebody that's involved in some sin, bring them to church. That's what we're supposed to do as God's people. That's how we're supposed. We're not, you know, sometimes we're thinking, well, you know, here's my job as a Christian. I want to make somebody like me to understand the doctrines of grace. And I believe in the doctrines of grace. I preach them all the time. But you see, what we're calling upon people to do is to come to know the Savior. We want to lead them from their sins. In John chapter 3, Jesus says this concerning the truth. Everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither cometh to the light. Now, the light, remember, is the truth of God's word when we're giving the truth of Christ and the truth of His word. If they're involved in evil, they don't like the light. They hate it. They don't want to come to church. They don't want to read the scriptures. They don't want to hear anything preached from the word of God. They hate it. They're avoiding it with all of their power. And the reason he says, lest his deeds should be reproved. They don't want to come here because what they're actually involved in their life, it's going to be revealed or reproved. They're going to be reproved for what they're doing. But he says, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light. If you're trying to walk in truth in your life, you are going to want to walk in the light. You're going to want the truth. But until you get to the place in your own personal experience that you want a relationship with Jesus Christ, you are going to avoid the truth. I know there's some people, I've seen them come to church. And when you're talking about a particular sin in their life, you can see them, they will do anything they can to not so that they don't have to listen to you. I've seen them turn their heads. I've seen them look down. I've seen them start talking to somebody. But they don't want to hear what you have to say up there. They're running from the light. Because they don't want their deeds to be reproved. But the good thing about it is sometimes they do come and they do hear and they do come to the truth. In 1 John chapter 1, we find John writing about the truth and how it correlates with our forgiveness. Suppose you were a person this morning and you had been involved in a heinous sin in your life. Perhaps you knew their churches and some things about Jesus Christ. And the Lord had dealt with you concerning your sin. And you felt very guilty for it. But suppose in your own mind you really did not know that you could be forgiven for your sins. You know, there's people like that in the world. They've gotten so far down in their own personal life. They've committed some sins that they can't even believe that they've committed. And I think there's some people here today, members of this church, that probably look back in their life and say, how did I do that? And I believe that there's people that go to church. They'll live their whole life looking back in their life and seeing all of the sins they've committed, and they never can find a freedom from it. Let me tell you something this morning. There is freedom from it. That's the truth of God's Word. You don't have to look back in your life and drag up all the stuff you have done that you know was a sin and wrong and live that every day. The Lord tells you that the Lord, He is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Satan wants you to keep dragging that up. He wants to keep you back. He wants you to make you feel guilty the rest of your life. Look in 1 John chapter 1, what Paul writes. Verse 5, "This then is the message that we have heard of Him and in declaring to you that God is light." That means He's true. "And in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him, we're walking in darkness and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Did you catch that? All sin. His blood cleanses from all sin. "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves." If we say that we don't really have any sin in our lives, we're deceiving ourselves, because there's not a person here that doesn't have some sin in their life. And the truth is not in us. The truth, again. "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And then again, he says what he said before. "If we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. His word is not in us," because he said, "You are a sinner." But that is a great truth that I believe sinners can find when they come to God's house, that we rejoice in the church, that we leave our past behind when we come to God's house, that we see what Christ has done for us, and we rejoice in the blood of His Son that cleanseth us from all unrighteousness. Now, you may be here this morning and you may say, "Well, you know, that really doesn't apply to me, because, you know, I thank You, Father, I'm not as other men are. I haven't done this and I hadn't done that." You may be sitting in that seat of you may be sitting in a seat of somebody that doesn't really feel like they really need all this. "I need this. I need to remember this verse of Scripture, this truth, every day of my life. When Satan tries to bring up my past or anything I've done in the past, I need to reclaim this promise." This is a truth. To know that Christ has paid for my sins and I don't have to walk anymore with Satan rubbing my face in it. Now, sometimes I do believe it's good for us to remember what we've done, that we don't do it again. But there's a difference between learning a lesson from our sin and letting it, the memory of it, destroy us in our lives. When you confess your sin to the Lord Jesus Christ, put it behind you, my friends, and you walk in the righteousness that is given to you freely of God, that's grace. That's one of the important truths that John writes about. John writes about truth a lot in the Gospel of John. In 1 John, he writes a lot about truth and light and us walking in the light and confessing our sins and dealing with our sins as we should. Dealing with sin is a part of truth. You know, there's more to dealing with sin than just believing that salvation is by grace. God's done it. My sin's dealt with. No, my friends, you got to deal with it personally in your life. That's the truth of God's Word. And we need to learn how to deal with it in the church and our own personal lives. From what we've learned this morning, there's one thing I want us to remember, and that truth brings us into fellowship with Jesus Christ. That's what he says here. If we say we don't have fellowship with Him, if we're not walking in the truth. We can't walk with Jesus Christ in our lives if we are not honest with Him about our own personal lives. The sin in our life, our fellowship with Him, our fellowship in the church, that we must be honest with the Lord. He seeketh those to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And our worship service should be by proclaiming the truth of God's Word. And I believe not only on a personal basis, but also a collective basis, that if a church, as a body of people, is going to have fellowship with the Lord, then we got to be interested in the truth. Something that we should rejoice in. We shouldn't make little gates around it and say, "Well, you know, I know it says that, but, you know, it says something else over here. And so I think that really means this doesn't mean what it says." I mean, some people are good at that. They really don't want to believe what the Bible says. And so they find other scriptures to try to disprove something. You know, we're supposed to use the Bible to prove what it says, not to disprove what it says. But as a body of people, I think the Lord rejoices in truth. Now, we're talking about truth this morning. But I want to say this about the truth. We can feel like we're pretty well on the truth, and that we're rejoicing in the truth, and that we care a lot about the truth. But on the other hand, our faithfulness to Christ and every part of our life has to do with it too. It's not just knowing the truth, it's living it out in our lives. Paul says, if I tarry long, that thou mightest know how to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Apparently, when Paul wrote this to Timothy, he felt like that he may not be there as quickly as he would like to be. So, Timothy, I may not get there in the next few days or the next few months. And it may be a year or more before I finally get there. But I want you to behave yourself in God's house. And how are we going to behave ourselves in God's house? By walking in truth. And another one of his epistles, John wrote that he rejoiced that his sister walked in the truth. I believe that's talking about the members of the church. There's nothing that the Lord rejoices in more than that we walk in the truth. We can believe the truth. We can know the truth. We can rejoice in the doctrines of grace. But you know, knowing it and walking in it is two different things. We are to walk in the truth if we're the Lord's people and we love the Lord and love His Word. So the church is the ground and the pillar of truth. It's the embodiment of truth in this world. And I guess if we were going to talk about all the truth that the church believes in this morning, we would not be able to cover it all the rest of our lives. As a matter of fact, that's probably one of the things that we're going to be rejoicing in when we get to heaven. As we're going to be rejoicing in all the truths that we're going to learn while we're up there. We're going to be worshiping the Lord and learning these truths and all of the things that we never could see. Here while we're here, Paul says we see through a glass darkly. But then face to face, we're coming to a place in our experience that we'll see it all and rejoice in the truth. I appreciate your being here this morning. And I hope that as a church, that we will rejoice in the truth, do all that we can as members of the church to preserve this church and the truth in this church for others that will come along. I believe the Lord greatly rejoices when we are truthful in His house. If you're here this morning and you love the truths that this church stands for, you love Jesus Christ, and you've not made a personal confession of Him by water baptism, you want to be a member of this church, we give you the opportunity as we stand and sing.